2 Timothy chapter 4, we'll begin reading in verse 19 down to 22. It's a great opportunity for me tonight to preach the word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 19 down to 22, the Bible said, "Salute Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren." Verse 22, "The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our God, our Father, tonight, thank you so much for allowing me to deliver your message tonight. Lord, I cannot do it. Lord, I pray tonight that may you anoint with the Holy Spirit to deliver your message and help us to get the right message that you intend us to get and give us a good time. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4, this is the last letter of the Apostle Paul. After he write this book, they execute him and he died and went to heaven. Now this is his last part. And I believe tonight, if you are writing a letter to someone, you usually save the last part of your letter, the important things that you want to say. And I believe Paul said the last part here are important. If you will read the whole chapter of 2 Timothy chapter 4, you can see a theme of things that are coming. Some things are coming in the future, and some things that already came in our society. Like notice in verse 21, the Bible said, "Come before winter." Things that are coming. In our society today, people doesn't know what are the things that are coming. People today are insecure. People today doesn't know what to look forward to. Like your president still got 2 years in the office and people doesn't know what is coming. We don't know what's to come. The whole world is facing economical crisis, and we don't know what's coming. The animosity toward Israel is getting stronger every day, but we don't know what's coming. Iraq, China, North Korea are on their path to war, and we don't know what's coming. But as we look to the Word of God tonight, we can see the things that are coming. It's coming. We can find in verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible said, "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." What's coming? Jesus Christ is coming. We may not know what's coming about your president, still got 2 years in the office. We may not know what's coming about the animosity toward Israel, about the economical crisis that we are facing. But one thing that we know for sure, that our Savior Jesus Christ is coming back again. "For he went up to the Mount Olives, and those angelic men said, this Jesus shall return in like manner." You know, as a preacher, I read quite a bit, and I think I should. I read some preacher's sermon about the second coming of Jesus Christ, about what they believe. And I read one preacher about his belief is that when Jesus Christ will come down on earth is during when you die. When you die in this earth, Jesus Christ will come down and bring you to heaven. That's what they believe. But my friend, tonight, that is not the second coming of Jesus Christ. There are some preachers' believes that the second coming of Jesus Christ took place in the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down and indwelled with the believers, indwelled with the church. Yes, Holy Spirit did came down and indwelled with the believers, but that is not the second coming of Jesus Christ. You know, there are some preachers' believes that the second coming of Jesus Christ took place in 1914. Just right before World War I, they believed that Jesus Christ was here, and since then that he was reigning on earth. That's why when you drive down the road, you can see a small building. It doesn't say a church, but it says Kingdom Hall. Because they believed since 1914, Jesus Christ was here. My friend, that's not the second coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus never came here in 1914. But the second coming of Jesus Christ is when the God the Father say to his Son, "Son, the bride is ready. She's complete. Go get your bride." And Jesus Christ will step out into the battlement of heaven. And when the law was given to Moses, they blew a trumpet in Mount Sinai. But when Jesus Christ, my Savior, will come, somebody will pick up that trumpet and blow it. A mighty blast of trumpet when the Lord Jesus Christ will come. Oh, what a day that will be. I don't know when. Maybe in the morning, maybe in the noon, maybe in the evening, or maybe soon. Maybe you're about to go on a deer hunting, Jesus Christ can come. Maybe you're about to go on a picnic, Jesus Christ can come. Maybe you're about to go on a camping, Jesus Christ can come. I don't know when, but I am looking forward that Jesus Christ is coming. For the dead in Christ shall rise first and be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and will meet our Savior in the air. And that is the second coming of Jesus Christ. What's coming? Jesus Christ is coming. What else? In verse 2, the Bible said, preach the word. That is the instruction to me in Cambodia. Preach the word, be instant in season. Out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come. Something else is coming. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heave to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Apostasy is coming. It's here already. Apostasy, false teachers, men that are denying the word of Jesus Christ. You know, in Cambodia, my mission field, millions of lost souls in Cambodia. But do you know, in the city where I started the church, it is also a hotbed for liberal missionaries that are going in Cambodia and teaching the wrong doctrines to the Cambodian people. There is one missionary there teaching that that when Jesus Christ was descended, he never went up 5 feet above the ground. And that hurts. There is one missionary there that teaching that being born again is like you every time you wake up in the morning, you are being born again. You wake up in the morning while sipping a cup of coffee in your porch, you are being born again. The following day, you woke up again while having a shower, while singing in the shower, you are being born again. Every day, you are being born again. And there's one preacher there teaching that Jesus Christ was not miraculously born of a virgin. And that hurts us. Men that are denying the deity of Jesus Christ, men that are denying that Jesus Christ died, and this man denying that Jesus Christ was resurrected, and this man denying that we inherited Adam's sin nature, and this man that are denying that this is the Word of God. That's why when you ask these people, who has paid for your sin? They have no one. Why? Because they believe salvation is doing the best as they can. And I'm glad that I'm washed by the blood. And I'm glad that Jesus Christ died for me the Mount Calvary. And I'm glad that he paid my sin. And I'm glad it's cost me nothing. And that is my salvation. You know, preacher, Bible said apostasy is coming. They can come in this church. We'll sit down. And we'll try to change everything. First, they will start saying, preacher, why we don't change our music? Preacher, why we don't add this instrument? It's nice. Everybody's using it. Apostasy is coming. I can go on the whole night and tell you a great ministry, a great schools, a great colleges in this country that ruined by apostasy. It's coming. Apostasy, it's coming. You know, in 2009, I was given a privilege to travel around, to travel different churches to raise some support that I need to start a church in Cambodia. And there's one church in West Virginia that is supporting me for $35 monthly. That church was a small church, and it's an old church. It was built in 1800. Of course, it's a wooden church. The pews are old. It's wooden pews. The preacher is already 80 years old. So the people are nice. The people are conservative. After 2 years in the mission field, I received a letter from that church saying that they will start supporting me. And I don't know for any reason why they need to stop. As soon as my wife got here in your country in September 1, I decided to visit that church and find out what happened, why they stopped. We are unexpected. We are not invited. We just drop by. We just show up. And I found out that they have a new building, that all the building was no longer there. They have the new one. I don't have a problem with that. And they are not using the songbook anymore. They will put a screen like that, and they have a projector up there, and that's the way they sing. I don't have a problem with that. But what it hurts me when that new young guy, young preacher stood up in that pulpit, he is using a different version of the Bible. And that hurts.
Amen.
Apostasy is coming. Jesus Christ is coming. Apostasy is coming. What else? In verse 6, where the Bible said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." For the time of my departure is at hand. My friend, death is coming. Whether you like it or not, death is coming. It is for you, it is for me. It's for everybody. Rich society, rich people, billionaires are trying to spend millions of dollars just to escape death. But I'm sorry to tell them, it is appointed unto men who wants to die. Death is coming. Paul said when he wrote this book, he knew that death is coming on his way. He knew that Nero Caesar will cut his head off. He knew it. For he said, For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He knew, Paul knew, anytime he will die. But look what he said in verse 7 before he died. He said, "I have fought a good fight." Paul fight the demons. Paul fight the devils. Paul fight the Nero Caesars. At the end of his life, he said, "I have fought a good fight." Now my question to you tonight, my friend, are you fighting a good fight? Maybe the devil got you and whip you and you got sight of track and you stop serving God. You fight the devil. Maybe you got knocked off by the devil. You fight him. Remember, there is always another round. Stand up and fight.
Amen.
So that at the end of your life, you can say, "I have fought a good fight." And he said, "I have finished my course." Paul went on his first journey. It was rough. It was hard for Paul, but he finished it. He went to his second journey. It was rough and it was hard again for Paul, but he finished it. He said, "I have finished the course." My friend, tonight God gave you a course, a ministry in this church. Maybe God asked you to go to bus route. That's good. You finish it. Maybe God asked you to play the piano. Maybe God asked you to sing in the choir. You finish it. So that at the end of your life, you can say, "I have finished my course." And lastly, he said, "I have kept the faith." Paul, when he write this letter, when he write this verse, he was in a small room. He was being tortured. He was in a prison. He was being tortured by Nero Caesars. He said, "I have kept my faith." In that small room, on the ceiling, there was a hole. When the snow will come, the cool air will come down, and the snow will come in. He was being tortured, but he can get out of that room anytime he wants. All he have to do is to deny the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul never did. He said, "I have kept the faith." Paul said before he died, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course and I have kept my faith." Folks, keep your faith. I just want to share you this one. I am not trying to make a story here. My wife, she's with me. We travel all the time. Not very long time ago, like two Sundays ago, we were in a church. We are not invited again. We just decided to show up. And that preacher allows me to share my bridge presentation, and my wife sang. So I share my presentation. At that time, I am needing $10,000 more to get that pickup truck. As soon as the service is over, that preacher stood up in his pulpit. It's a big church. And told us, we are sitting in the front row, told us, "Brother Lexter, our church is capable and able to help you. We can give you $10,000 check." so that you can go home, you can be with your daughters, you can go back in Cambodia to start your mission again. It's $10,000, preacher. I thought I am going earlier. But what preacher, that preacher told me, before we will give this check, we found out that you are using a different Bible. So we can help you, but you need to be one of us. You change your Bible, Brother Lexter, we'll help you 100%. He stood up. I don't know if I become rude, but I don't care. I stood up. I grabbed my wife and I told that preacher, I'm sorry, preacher. I cannot do it. My soul is not for sale. And my faith is not for sale. I grabbed my wife. We went out of that building as fast as we can. We get into our car. We drive. We spend money for gasoline. I don't care. As long as we stand for what is right. My soul is not for sale, and my faith is not for sale. I may not have a big house or a big property to leave to my children when I die in this world. But one thing that I can do, I can always look back to them, to my two children and to my wife, and I can always look back to them before I die, and I will say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course in this world. And what important is I have kept the faith. That's all I can give them when I'm done in this world. Folks, don't sell your faith.
Amen.
Death is coming. And lastly, winter is coming. I know it's coming, but Bible said it's coming. For the Bible said in verse 21, he said, to thy diligence to come before winter. That is the instructions of Paul to Timothy. The instruction is, you can find in verse 13, Paul said to Timothy, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee and the books, but especially the parchment. That is the instructions of Paul to Timothy, because Paul will die soon. So before he will die, he said to Timothy, do thy diligence to come here, Timothy. Make sure you bring my coat, you bring my books, you bring my parchment before Nero Caesar will kill me. And make sure, come before winter. That is the instruction. Let's just say this is what happened. So Timothy got the instructions of Paul. So Timothy started this journey. He was in a hurry. He got his bag. And he stopped in, he went through the mountains, down through the villages to the country roads. And maybe in that village, he saw his friend. That friend said, Timothy, where are you going? Timothy said, I am going to Rome. I am going to see Paul. They will kill him. He needs his parchment before he will die. But Timothy's friend said, no, you can do that tomorrow. Come over here. Let's spend the night. Let's have fun. Let's cook out. So maybe Timothy decided to stay overnight in that village. The following day, same thing happened again. He saw his friend along his way, and he stopped again and spent the night in that village. But the main instruction is to do thy diligence to come before winter. There are so many obstacles and hindrances into the life of Timothy. Finally, he reached the prison. But before he will go to the room of Paul, he needs a boat ride. To be able to get on the boat, he needs a ticket. In that ticket booth, he said, I am Timothy. I am going to see Paul. Give me a ticket. I need to sail. I need to see Paul. I'm in a hurry. And the man inside the booth said, I'm sorry, Timothy. It's winter time. There is no boat sailing. On winter time, it is late already for Timothy. Timothy was sad. He decided to go back home. Months passed by. Flowers started to bloom. Grass started to grow. It is springtime into the life of Timothy. At this time, Timothy started his journey again. At this time, there was no obstacles and there was no hindrances in his life. Finally, he got a boat ride and he went to the prison and he talked to the soldier. He said, I am Timothy. I need to see Paul. And the soldier said, I'm sorry, Timothy. Paul died in winter time. You're late. Timothy was late. Winter came into the life of Timothy. He forget his duty. He forget his obligation to come before winter. Because there's so much obligation, so much distractions in his life, he forget his duty. It is too late already. Friends, tonight, winter can come in your life also. I just want to share this one in closing. I have a cousin with me. We grew up together about same age. We grew up together in the Philippines. We go to same school. I love him. He was born and raised in a Catholic family. At the age of 13 years old, my cousin and his family decided to migrate in Australia to find a better life. Since then, we did not have communication. And I know that my cousin doesn't have Jesus Christ in his heart. And one day, I saw a telephone in our house, and it just came in my mind, what if I will pick up that phone and call my cousin in Australia to tell him the love of Jesus? I did not do it. There's so much fun in my life. I did not do it. One day, I was in the church, and I saw a gospel tract in the church. What if I will put this one inside the envelope and send to Australia so that my cousin can read and he will know the love of Jesus. He will know that Jesus Christ died for him. Because there's so much fun and obstacles in my life, it's always in my mind, I can do it tomorrow. There is tomorrow. Why not do it tomorrow? Do it tomorrow. I forget my cousin. I forget my obligation and my duty before God that he needs Jesus. And one day we receive a news that their house was burned on fire. And none of them managed to escape. And that includes my cousin that I used to grow up. His blood is in my hand. And my prayer tonight, when I go to heaven, I want to see my cousin there. But how? I was late. I never did my duty. But how? I am praying that someone, while he was walking, that somebody handed a gospel tract to him. That somebody did my job. And I'm praying that while in his workplace, while he was working, someone shared the gospel to him that did my job and responsibility before God. My prayer is somebody did my duty. It is already too late for me to share the gospel to my cousin. Winter came in my life. Folks, winter is coming. You have relatives, you have friends, you have cousin who needs Jesus Christ. And I'm begging you, winter is coming. And I'm begging you, do it now. Don't do it tomorrow. Before you realize it is too late already for you to win them for Christ.